Welcome to the Two Girls with Grief podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Kendall.
And I'm Rachel.
The podcast where we talk about our experiences with grief. There might be tears or there might be laughter, but join us as we figure it out in real time.
We aren't professionals, we're just professional grievers. The podcast where we have honest conversations breaking down the stigma of grief one episode at a time. And our hope is that you feel less alone listening to our podcast. And without further ado, I feel like this is going to be a nice, easy, shorter episode. Hopefully we'll see what inspires us to speak. But this is episode 11, and I feel like people talk about this all the time. So our next episode is practical tips for helping your grieving friend. For any potential triggers, please check the show notes prior to listening.
So the way we begin every episode, Rachel, where are you with your grief today?
I'm on a period, so I feel like that is not necessarily a good time for grievers because you're extra sensitive. I, for some reason, decided to look at my mom's old Facebook posts because I saw a TikTok about this girl that was crying because she missed her mom posting about her on her Facebook and all her friends commenting and being like, she's so pretty or all stuff. So I went to my mom's Facebook and it was just like all these photos of me and my sister, like, stuff and like commenting like, oh, my daughter works here, go support her. Like, it just like, it was like those things, and I was like, why did I go do that? So I was crying, but then I had a brownie sundae, so it made it better.
Oh yum.
Pretty much the cure. But yeah, it definitely sets you off a bit more when you're more emotional. But what about you? How is your grief today?
Yeah, I feel like this whole week has just been like same thing, like disastrous, and I've been really up and down as well. Like, my dad's passing anniversary was this week too, so it's just been a little heavy. And I had like a similar thing where I didn't know my dad, not a social media guy. He was like someone of another time and era and did not like social media, was not going to be his thing. He didn't have a cell phone forever. He was like a pencil and paper type of guy. And one day at work, I have to do stuff on like LinkedIn, and I find that he had made a LinkedIn page. It's something like in my little heart like snapped and broke, and I was belligerent. Like I was like, I have to go. This is not good for me, because like I am actually like on the verge of waterworks. So yeah, like if you find out your dad has like a little secret LinkedIn page, and it was just like him trying his best, I was like, oh.
So. Yeah, that was part of my mom's Facebook. It also, like, she definitely posted that looked like she was replying to people's messages or something. And It was just, like, her Facebook status. And I was like, oh, mom, I want to help you with this.
Which is, like, it's a little bit embarrassing, but it's just, like, so cute, too. And you're like, oh, you were, like, really embracing it.
And even just, I mean, the status is, it's words that she said, you know, that she was texting. So,
yeah,
those are still just precious. So, yeah, I mean, we can't talk about it too much. This is supposed to be an easy episode, and I'm about to cry when it's supposed to be practical tips. So right. I'm not going to do that. So another thing we always do is our credentials. If you've been listening, you know, I've lost both my parents and my sister, and obviously my mom, as I was talking about it. But I think why I like this topic a lot is because I genuinely want to believe that people want to help and want to be there for friends. Obviously, there's always the people that aren't good friends, but I think it's just, there's a weird divide of people that have grieved or that are grieving and people that haven't. And there's a lot of disconnect and a lot of miscommunication and a lot of feelings that flow both ways for this. And I think if we talk about it more and just share things about the topic, that we help some people bridge the gap. You know, and there's not a perfect system. There's not a perfect way. It won't fit for everybody. It won't work for everybody. But by sharing some things, it might help your friend. So that's why we're doing this. And those are my thoughts. So what are your credentials to speak on this, Kendall?
Yeah, I think like in the same way, prior to my dad's passing, I would have never had any of these ideas that we have here, these tips on how to help someone who's grieving. I would have been like everybody else, saying the same things to everybody, you know, like the same sorry words that aren't really helpful. But I remember like really right after my dad's loss and in the thick of grieving, thinking like, oh, this would be really nice if like someone did this or said this or like just this tiny little thing. None of these are really big. I feel like you can, if you have it in your capacity and power, like to really support somebody in that way, by all means, like good for you. But these are just tiny little things I think everybody can do to show someone who's grieving that you care and you want to help out. And you may not know, but this is a good place to start. And like Rachel said, I think so much of this is just people who have not gone through the grieving process really and genuinely wanting to support someone who is grieving, but don't know how to do that or where the boundaries are. And so I think these tips are super easy to walk away with and to use in real life. So hopefully, and if y'all have more ideas, like let us know.
Yeah, you can comment the episode or our social media, email us. Like, we'd love to compile a larger list. These are just some things that came top of mind for us and maybe things we wanted or things that happened. So yeah, this is from our experience and other things that we've seen. So feel free to add on.
Yeah.
To our list.
So should we kick off the first tip?
Yes. Kick it off, Kendall.
Yeah. I will say this is not my own original tip, but I think this is definitely one to carry forward and pass on. And honestly, if this becomes a trickle effect and pay it forward, I mean, that's just the best thing I think that could happen, because it happened with someone for me. I do it every time I know somebody's grieving. But my college roommate, if you're listening, Sarah, I love you so much. I hope you're doing well. But she somehow had heard that my dad had been in the hospital for a while. And at this point, you know, kind of people stop checking in as much. And really close to his passing, she had sent me just $5. And she's like, go buy yourself a coffee today because you deserve it. And just Venmo'd me it. And I was like, at first, I think like the manner thing kicked in of like, you don't need to send me that. I don't need $5. Like, and she's like, no, I'm not taking this back. This is for you. This is not for medical stuff. This is not for anything else. This is for you because I know you're up all night. You haven't slept and you just need something to get you through the day. And I just thought that was like such a sweet little gesture to show that like she knew what it's like to be sitting in those hospital chairs, not sleeping. And it is something that I do for every person I know, like especially when they know like somebody in their life is sick or like something terrible has happened and they're in the hospital. And I'm like, here's $5. Like, go get yourself a coffee. Go get yourself a treat. Because if it's just a small little thing that makes you happy today, it's well worth it.
Yeah. And that actually inspired me. My friend recently lost her mom. And so I sent her money to like, go buy food, go buy coffee, whatever you need. And I was going to send her food, but I was like, I don't know where she is. A lot of things happen when you lose someone and it's like the day after. I don't know where she'll be. I don't want to put that on her. So I was just like, here, you want to buy yourself food, coffee, like just eat something, drink, you know, like take care of yourself. So even something that Kendall just mentioned, I think she might have mentioned it sometime in the podcast, but I was like, oh, I'm going to try to do that for my friend. And that's, I don't think it's something I've done before. She appreciated it. And that the number can depend on your relationship to them, what you're willing to. You could even make them coffee, you know, something like you could do that.
I've done like the gift card thing, the e-gift card. So it just pops up. And I think like they could just use their phone and it scans it immediately. Yeah. So they don't have to have even the physical gift card.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be exact. It's like, just take that kind of the thought of that gesture and make it your own to your friend. And you know them, like you might know what they want, need better, but just it's an idea. You make it your own. Do what you want with it. And the next one that we have is, I think it's easy when someone passes away or as a friend of someone that passes away, like I think your friend might be acting different. Your friend might be saying things they don't usually, or they may not be available to you. Your relationship might change immediately. It might change forever. Like it just changes a lot about you. It could be just a really rough time for them. It could be depressive. Like, there's so many things that could be happening. And I think sometimes it's easy to not think about what they're going through and to think like, oh, they're not being good friend to me, or, oh, they might have said this to me, or, oh, you took something the wrong way. And I think grief is so heavy. It's so big. It's so much bigger than people give it credit for. And if this person, if your friend is someone that you love, if there's it's just someone that you care about, like, give them some grace to mess up and not say the right thing, to not respond, to be radio silent. Like, don't make it about you and your relationship at a time that is really crazy and hectic and not about you. So I think this is like a really big tip, is like, don't get sensitive during this time. And maybe that's in your personality. Like, just be aware that what they're doing is for them, and you might not currently fit into that right now, but don't take that personally. It doesn't mean your friendship's over. It just means that, like, maybe you don't fit into whatever they're struggling with at the moment. So don't make it harder for them. Don't fight with them about it. Don't ask them about why they're not texting you. Like, just don't do any of those things. Like, take a step back and try to view it from their perspective. So I think that's a big one. Don't make this about you. Don't take it personal for what they're dealing with.
I think that especially right out of the gate, it's the utmost importance to extend that unconditional love to them, because they are not going to be the same person they are, and they're not going to be the best version of themselves. In fact, they might be, in some cases, sometimes for the first time, experiencing the worst version of themselves, and that is already hard for them. I know for myself, when I was the worst version of myself, it was even hard to reckon that I was in such a difficult place with myself, but then harming the relationships around me because I was just so hurt and broken. And I really, like, I know I praise my friends on here a lot for being able to still love me through that and still be with me on the other side, because they did pour that unconditional love into me and be able to recognize it's not about them. And they're like, she just needs time to process this. So the next one we have is, we have to spend a day with them. I think you and I talk a lot about how the best thing you could possibly give a griever is that space to talk about it. And you're going to get into that in the next point, which I think these go hand in hand, you know. But what we kind of mean by that is, it doesn't have to be like the full day, but if it is taking them to get breakfast, if it's taking them to get coffee, if it's taking them to the movies, if they are in that place with their grief where they are ready to get out of the house, and maybe they're like, I want to get out of the house, but I don't even know what to do. Because I can think of, like, I went to the movies a lot with my dad. I couldn't even fathom, like, going to the movies again without him. To go by yourself just, like, felt sad to me at the time. So to be like, hey, do you want to go see a movie? I'll take you to go to the movies and we can go together. Like, that was just, like, such a sweet, kind thing, knowing that, like, that was something, like, me and my dad liked to do. I would just say, like, talk with the person, see where they are in their grieving process, if they are ready to take that little jump and entering, like, the real world. They might not be, and that's okay. You can try again in a couple months, in a couple years. Give them that opportunity, and still just offer them that time in your life and be like, I want to be there and I want to listen and I want to do this for you because you've gone through a hard and heavy thing.
And hopefully it doesn't take years for them to pick you up on that offer. But yeah, I remember even one of my friends, she's from friends from high school. I feel like we've gone, you know, in and out of closeness throughout the years. But she was one of the people that, like, also knew my sister. And there was just one day where I asked her, like, can you come hang out with me? Because it was, like, one of the first days I was going to be alone after my sister passed away. And she did. And we just, like, hung out. I don't even remember what we did. I know we ate and, like, she drove an hour to come see me, and I just remember I really appreciated that she just came. And I feel like when you're grieving, you don't want to be around people you don't feel comfortable with,
right?
So it wasn't like she brought anyone else with her. She just came alone. We spent time. I think we talked about it a little bit, but mostly just, like, she made sure we hung out. And I think that was, like, super helpful. Just, like, someone taking the time to spend with me when it just felt like everyone went back to the world, the normal world, re-entered the world. And I was still just, like, out of sorts, just out of it because I lost my sister. And I just could not get a hold on what the world was supposed to look like without her. I still am figuring that out. She's been gone for 8 years. Like, I still freaking hate that she's gone and that I have to live without her. But I swear that was really nice. I think just, like, giving people something to look forward to and trying to reach out, I think is nice, because it's not as sad as it is. I feel like people don't offer their time as much to people as often. And sometimes they just need that time, like someone to care about them.
Yeah, I remember the first time. It's not the first time of me like having dinner with my best friend, but she was like, hey, like, do you want to go grab something to eat? And I like for the, and it was the first time in my grief process, I like wanted to look pretty. Like, it was like a little date for me to like go hang out with her. And it was like the first time I was excited to just spend time. And like, I actually like washed my face and I brushed my hair and I even put on waterproof makeup because I knew I was going to cry. But I was like, I want to look like decent for the world. And it was just like a small little thing, but I was like, it was like one of the few moments in my early grief stages. I was like really excited.
Yeah. And I feel like you can take that as taking them for a day out. If it's in your budget, if it's someone you want to, like, you can take it as like extravagant as your budget is. You can even do that on a low budget.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways to do that.
Dollar Tree. That's always fun.
Yeah. I mean, there's options. Like, really, it depends on your friend. Like, I feel like to really be there for someone, you should know the person.
Yeah.
And you should be able to be like, okay, this gives me an idea for something that they would like.
Yeah, like that's all we're love.
Yeah.
Making. And like that, if, you know, if something were to happen with her, like that would be something I would want to do with her and be like, let's bake shit together.
Yeah. So it's like, you know them, you know what to do. We're just trying to give you some inspiration to think about your friend in a way that maybe you didn't think about might help them. And so something that Kendall slightly mentioned was offering them a space to talk. And I think it's bigger than that, because I think what often happens with people that are grieving and people that haven't experienced it, you might share things that feel really dark, that might feel uneasy, that might make you feel uncomfortable. And I think it's hard when you don't address the awkwardness, because you can be so sad. It's like you could say something, and then if someone, you say it to your friend and they don't respond to you via text, they don't say anything when you say it to their face, like that is just a really weird feeling. And I think it's really because they don't know what to say. Some people might just be not supportive, and that's just not their space to do that. And that's something good for you to know about them. But I think most of the time, it's just you don't want to say the wrong thing. So I think if you're just kind of open about it, like, I don't really know what to say to help in this moment. I don't really know, but like, feel free to share what you want to share. I feel like just kind of being clear about your intentions and the space you can provide, because otherwise, especially when emotions are heightened, it's easy to be like, they don't care, or they just made it really awkward for me. And I would hope to think that's most often not the case. So just say the thing and break the ice, because it's probably going to be some awkward conversations, but just let it happen. And it's normal for them to cry, so just let them cry. Like, don't make that a weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah, just embrace the tears. It's coming along with it.
Because grievers know that it's totally normal to cry. I cried this morning. Like, might cry tonight. Like, I don't know. You know, it just comes when it wants to. So I think we're so comfortable with our tears now. It's weird when you feel like you have to hide it from people that don't get it. So just let that be normal when they need to cry. Like, don't make them keep that side apart from you as a friend, I'd say.
And I've been asked this by people in the past of when I am sharing something with them and they ask, do you want me to listen right now, or do you want advice? And sometimes it, like, really, even I have to think about, well, what do I really need in this situation, and what am I needing from this communication? Because sometimes I think people often lean on, oh, well, I could tell them some piece of positive advice, but it's not what the person actually is wanting. Sometimes I just want to, like, vent about how much it sucks. And that's where you just commiserate, and you're like, yeah, life is not fair. Like, I totally get it. This is painful. It feels shitty. Why did this happen to you? And sometimes people don't want to hear advice. Sometimes people don't want the positivity, because when you're in the thick of grief, nothing feels positive.
Yeah. Also, there's nothing to fix grief. So you might just piss them off. So just watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Yeah.
I think, like, knowing where they are in their headspace, and just asking that, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking that up front and being blatant, like, very blatant about it, and being like, I want to help you. I just need to know what you're looking for right now. Yeah. So I can be the best friend to you in your space where you need it.
Yeah. And public service announcement. A lot of people that are experiencing grief, like very recent, they do not like it when you say they want you to be happy or they want you to live a good life. Like, people in the thick of it generally don't react to that well. That's not everybody. I feel like now at a point years out, it's like, okay, yeah, obviously. Like, that's what I also use sometimes to, like, get myself, like, focused to, like, work on the things I want to. I'm like, they'd want me to achieve these things. They'd want me to be happy. But it's been many years away from it. So, yeah, just maybe don't use that one. And, you know, years away, it's like, it's fine with me. But a lot of people don't like hearing that when they just are, like, very recent to grief. So keep that in mind.
I think, like those words, there's so many, like, normal things. Like, they're in a better place. They're not in pain anymore.
Yeah.
Of course. Like, I think grievers agree with that. Like, we know that.
Don't want to hear it.
But we don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, it's, of course, it's about the person we lost. So the reason we wouldn't be feeling this bad is because of that. But at the core, it's also, like, we feel shitty. It's kind of about us and how much this sucks not to have this person here in our life. And like exactly the example you brought up, but it took you having to accept that mindset. It took years for you to finally, like, come to terms with that with yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Throwing that on a person when they're not ready to receive it is just, it's not helpful. And of course, like, the griever is going to be like, thank you, that's so nice. And then roll their eyes when you walk away.
Because there's no place that my sister should be other than with me, growing up with me. So, like, whatever place she's in, like, if I could call her back, I would fucking call her back. Like, I would call her back. Like, she should be with me. And to this day, that's something that I'll stand by, that she should be with me. So many things, I do see her presence, feel her presence and things. But, like, where she should be is right next to me, because that's where your sister should be. So, like,
don't
tell me that now. God, like, don't tell me that. Still don't say that to me. I don't want to hear that one. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just, it's one of those things where people just need a space to talk and feel okay and be seen. And society makes you feel like there's a solution and you can fix it, and you can't. You just sometimes just need to be there and let someone share the darkest things that they're feeling. Like, feeling like, I don't want to be in a world without my sister. Like, I don't know how to live in a world without my sister. And those are just feelings, like, raw feelings that I felt after my sister passed away and we came back from the hospital. But, like, I'm sure a lot of people, that would make them so uncomfortable. And it's like, I'm in shock. Like, I never thought that would happen. So it's like, if that's something that I felt, don't try to fix. There's no fixing that feeling. You know, like, I just need to, like, let that out and figure out my next step in life. Like, I wasn't eating. Like, that's where I was. So it's like, don't try to fix something like that. Obviously, if it's, like, to a very extreme, you know, watch out for people. But there's no fixing that type of deep sadness, loneliness that comes with, like, losing a sibling and feeling like that. So I just want to give an open example of, like, what people might say, and just so, like, they can still be okay. You know, they can still be living and enjoying life as much as they can. So don't try to fix that. There's nothing to fix that feeling.
Yeah. And I think it is in these spaces where you, as a friend, listen to the griever and don't question that experience. Just know that this is what they're going through. And even if you're like, I don't know, their reality is already distorted. Their memories are now weird. Their feelings are crazy. Like, they don't know what day it is. They're not sleeping. They're not eating. So, like you have to trust that this is their experience if you truly want to be a good friend to them. And I think also, like, just to call it out as it is, like, yes, you and I both have lost our parents at young ages, and that's not fair at all. And yet, that's anticipated. That's expected, that a child will one day have to bury their parents. But exactly what you're talking about, like, losing your sister is a very different experience than losing your parents. And that's okay to ask this person, what does this grief feel like? Because the grief you feel for your sister is very different than your parents. But as a friend, you might not know that or expect that. You might just assume every grief feels the same.
Yeah.
And I could tell you, like, losing a grandparent feels very different than losing my dad. Feels yeah. very different than losing my friend. And how you know, they pass on, like, that yeah. adds context to the loss and how that
your actual
feels.
Relationship to them, like, that can change. Yeah. Like, someone's grandparent could raise them, you know, like, it could be different for everybody.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter the title, but just, like, the relationship you have to that person is what really makes it so big. Like, mm-hmm. I still hate living in a world without my sister. I still think yeah. that's, like, ridiculous. So, I mean, just give people space to be that and to yeah. just know, like, just be there.
Yeah, and that every, like, loss is going to be unique for the person, and that there's not a standard you apply to the grief that a person is dealing with, because, you know, the loss of a parent is going to be different than a loss of a sibling. If someone passes on for medical reasons, it's going to be very different than a car accident, you know, yeah. something that you're anticipating versus, like, something that happens yeah. suddenly and accidentally.
Yeah.
You and I cover that a lot of, like, you and I have a very, very similar views or very similar experiences on our grief journey. And yet there's so many grief experiences that you and I don't know. And we know, like, you and I often are looking for those other experiences to better educate ourselves about people who have different types of losses that we have not experienced.
Yeah. That brings up a good kind of, or just extra point of, even if you experience grief, you don't know their grief. So don't yeah. assume that you do, and that what worked for you might work for them. Or, you know, so I've seen people compare, like, oh, I know what you feel, I lost my dog, or, and that makes you really angry. And I get that. It's a difference, obviously, right? But I think just, like, you don't have to even, I think you're trying to relate. You don't need to relate on that. You don't need to make that apparent, right? You know, and you can feel like, my dog is like my family now. Like, I've lost certain people. Like, I love my dog so much. We are, like, he is my soul. I feel like he understands me. Like, he is my family. So I feel like it's a little different level for me now. But, like, I'm still not going to compare, like, him to someone else. Even if, like, in my heart, experiencing my grief, that's something that feels super deep for me. You just, there's things that you don't need to say. And you might be trying to relate, but you don't need to all the time. You can just relate by in different ways rather than trying to be like, I get it. Because you might not, you know, you probably right. don't, because your experience is still different than mine, even though there's a lot of similarities. Like, I don't know. I can't say, like, oh, I know what Kendall went through exactly, because I don't. And I just don't think that it helps anyone by trying to go that route. And I feel like I hear a lot of people go that route, and mm-hmm. I feel like it never works out. So don't do that.
Yeah. And I try to remind myself, as someone who is a griever, but then also, you know, am still experiencing other people who lose other people, you know, talking to other grievers and acknowledging that I do have my own grief experiences. But I think it's totally okay to, if the person trusts you to talk about it and this space is created for this dialogue, that you're like, hey, this is how I felt in my situation. Is this what you're feeling too? Like, what are the differences?
Yeah.
between it, and let's talk about that, because regardless, it's still educational and it's still worth the conversation, I think, in the long run for both people. Like, that's just healthy conversation about grief, to know, well, this is my experience, but and our experiences are different, but I want to know, like, what has your experience been with this?
Yeah, it's like, you can still be there and have those upward conversations. I think just coming at it as, like, an expert or a solution
right
oriented person, that's where it's not. I definitely think people should just have more open conversations of where they connect and where they don't, and just be honest about that, because I think that's where a lot of friendships, like, do kind of blow up and take wrong turns, is just, like, assumptions during a hard time.
Yeah, I love what you said about, like, not being an expert, because I think, like, you can be an expert for your own experience, but be, like, a learner and, like, really
yeah
try and understand what another person is feeling, and, like, get, like, to help them really don't be scared of that. Just dive in with them, because they're already in the thick of it anyways. They're in, like, the, you know, the pit of their grief experience. And I don't know, I kept wanting to say, like, in the dark place of your heart, like, jump yeah. in with them, because they're already feeling alone and different and weird and so isolated. And if you already do have this grief experience, then you know you can jump in and not be scared of like that place that they're in. I saw this cute little video on Instagram of like this like rabbit and elephant, and like the elephant is grieving, has a little rain cloud, and the bunny just like sits next to him underneath the rain cloud. And that's, I think, exactly how grievers want. We just want someone to not be scared of that.
I actually saw someone mention like Eeyore in like Winnie the Pooh, how he was always just like the sad donkey at events. So they're like, they invited him to everything. They just let him be himself.
Yeah.
And someone correlated that to grief. And I feel like that's so real. Like, I feel like that is one of those things where it's like, you might be a sad donkey, but you still want to be invited to places. You still want to be there. And maybe you want to go, maybe you don't. Maybe you just need some time, but just allow someone to kind of be there where they're at. And maybe they're different than they were before, and just like accept them as who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. There was many times where I'd be out with my friends and I might have been staring into space, but I still just appreciated the tiny steps I was trying to make for myself to get out of the house and be around people again. But you're right. I'm trying to get out. I'm not going to be the same person. And yet my friends still like accepted me for that and brought me in. And still, I think like we talked about this in a previous episode, but like, let the choice be on the griever to say no if they don't want to attend something, rather than assuming that they don't want to go.
Yeah.
So then another one we have, I think, and this kind of like, I think ties in with the previous one of like keeping in touch with the person and who's grieving. This looks, I think, in many different ways, but I think a lot of grievers have the experience of like, you immediately lose somebody. You're flooded with all these messages, phone calls, everything. And then it trickles out. And then I distinctly remember 6 months out from my dad passing and be like, wow, I don't think anybody remembers.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody knows, because they move on. Like, their life has moved on. And that's okay. Like, they are not going through that journey that you're going through. But I think as friends of grievers, like, there's little simple ways that you can just check in, keep in touch. I think one thing is, one thing I really appreciated from friends was like, hey, I'm thinking of you. You don't have to respond back, but if you want to do something, let me know. Or if you need anything, just reach out. I loved the pressure of not having to respond, because I felt when those floods of texts were coming in, I felt like I had to respond to every single person. And that was so overwhelming and exhausting. Yeah. And I was like, God, I hate this already, because I have to now talk to 500 people about the same damn thing.
Yeah.
And so
it's very emotional.
Yeah. I think giving that acknowledgement of like, hey, I'm checking in. I'm thinking of you. X, Y, Z. If there's like an action involved. But then also saying like, if you don't have to respond, like, don't take on that burden or pressure to feel like you have to text me back. And I think like, just like little breadcrumbs, like it doesn't have to be a big old thing. I am not like a big phone call person. In fact, that's kind of a thing my friends joke about, is that I don't call them a lot on the phone. I think if they had called me, that'd be a lot of anxiety and I'd probably pretend not to answer. But they like knew me well enough to know that like that would have not been good. But if you know your friend is a phone caller, you know your friend is a FaceTimer, like give that
in return.
Because that probably really make their day. And I think that's just like knowing your friend. Like, I think like a simple little thing, just checking in and meeting them on the medium they.
I think also that I hear so often and experience myself is like, one, be careful when you ask, like, keep asking, like, how are you? One, because it's a big question that they might or might not want to answer. But also, you might get an answer that is really dark and really sad. So if you aren't the type of person that knows how to respond or might just ghost them when they share that information, don't ask that in the first place.
Because yeah, don't ghost even them.
That's a weird thing. And I think we've all experienced this. People ask, like, how are you? And then you share. If you actually share, other than, like, I'm okay, then people are like, they don't respond because they're expecting you to say the okay, but it, no one's okay after someone dies. Like, no one's just okay. So if someone gives you that answer, they're probably just trying to just give the short answer and not really talk about it. I've seen other people say, like, ask them specifically, like, how's your day-to-day? Or, you know, like, you can ask more specific things that aren't as huge, that doesn't make the investor think about, like, how am I really today, you know? You can ask those things without it being, like, this big thing. You can also be, like, it doesn't have to be, like, a, like asking about it always or anything, like, forever. It could just be, like, you're sending them TikToks.
Yeah.
You're sending them just messages about random things or talking about hanging out. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, every time you're talking about it. But, and know this, know your friend because, yeah, or your loved one, because people are different, but don't be afraid to bring it up to them eventually, you know, like, don't just, like, forget the subject at some point, which a lot of people do. I think a lot of times people think, oh, I don't want to make them sad by bringing it up, but it's like,
yeah,
it's sad that they're gone, you know, they're already sad about it. So I think it's better to talk about people and talk about their memory and really kind of have that as something still existing in their life, because it's always there. The absence is always there. It's just weird when you don't talk about the person that's so important to you to anyone else. That part's weird, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously know your friend and how they react, but don't just pretend that the person that passed away is, like, gone. Like, that, yeah, are, like, that never existed. I mean, you know? Because I think that's also hard, where people feel like they were erased and no one cares about them anymore. I feel like that's a super common feeling for people that are grieving.
I think another thing, if you have a ritualistic thing to try and keep up with that, based on if they're willing to have space for that. In my two examples, like, after my dad passing, one of his, like, dying wishes was that I kept me and my brother and sister together, that I didn't let his passing divide us and become distant to each other. And I was like, what an undertaking. You're expecting a 24-year-old to figure out how to keep a family together after a loss. Like, I don't, yeah, know how to do that. And one simple thing one person recommended was, like, maybe it's just, like, a weekly dinner, or, like, just a weekly thing or a monthly thing, but something ritual that they can't say no to because they know they should be expecting it. And that's what came up with the whole, like, Sunday D&D thing, was that every Sunday I cooked dinner for
Dungeons
them.
And Dragons.
for the nerds at home.
For all the people that don't know.
Yeah, so that's how me and my brother and sister play Dungeons and Dragons every Sunday evening. And that is, for the most time, like, a non-negotiable. Like, they know every week, like, for 2 hours of the evening, that's what we do. And in another case that's not quite so, like, ritual or planned out, is that because one of my friend's schedule is kind of, like, crazy, so he's, like, in and out of town a lot, but nobody ever knows, like, really when. But every time he was in town, he's so good about planning. He's like, hey, I'm in town, let's get dinner. And so it might be, like, every 2 weeks or every three, yeah, weeks, but I know, like, they are trying to make time for me. And I sometimes can't, for whatever reason, but I do acknowledge, like, they care enough about me to want to do these things. And it's not planned or as ritualistic, but I think for, like, as much as a friend can, I think that's a simple thing for a friend to do, is like, hey, can we meet up monthly and we go to, like, a new restaurant, or we could try
something,
a new coffee place. Yeah, like, something, I think, something to look forward to, something that, like, they can expect, like, oh, this is coming up in the next few days, I've got to make sure I don't plan over that. And that way they, like, because also in, like, the thick of my grief, I was the queen of flaking out of things. But if I had more time to plan for it and knew it was coming up, the less likely I was going to flake out of it. And I will say 99% of the time, I really needed those moments. I really needed to get out of, like, my own head in the quietness of my own house and go out and do something. And every time I drive back, I'm like, I'm really glad I did that. But I think you do have, it's a battle you're facing almost with, like, the griever's mind. You have to kind of, like, work with their grief at the same time.
Yeah. And something that we talked about before as well is, it's easy sometimes to build up that you might not like the situation. You might not have fun at the event because you're just kind of building up a lot of things in your head. You're feeling, yep, sad. I think it's one thing for as a friend, they're a good friend to you and you know how they've been previously. Like, they might need a push to be like, just come out for, try it for an hour. If you don't like it, we'll leave, you know, or like, I'll come over and we'll drink wine and watch a movie. Like, mm-hmm. it really depends on your friendship, right? And your personal relationship to them. You might be like, hey, I'm going to plan a dinner party. Like, let's come over. Like, who do you feel comfortable being around right now? Or, you know, there's certain things you can do to just make it easy for them to not hole up in their home or room or whatever. So just know your friend and know when it's okay to push. Because mm-hmm. I think that is a buildup that happens where you're like, this isn't going to be fun. I don't need this. It's going to be bad, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you just need to be like, oh, no, that actually was a good thing. And I feel better because I went out in the world or, oh, I spent time with my friend. So,
right.
Yeah, just keep in mind, it's always different for people. Another important thing is don't put more on their plate. This can be applicable for so many different situations. I think the first thing that comes to mind is, like, especially when someone just passed away and there might be like a funeral or something, most of that information will become public. You know, they'll post about it eventually. Like, usually that is something that happens. So don't keep texting, like, what's the information? If you're someone that's planning to go to the funeral, don't keep bugging them with questions about it. Even if you're trying to help, sometimes ask people, like, what do you need? Puts a lot on people when they don't have the capacity. So, like, even say, like, oh, let me know when you want to hang out. Like, that might never happen if you put that on the person that is having a hard time showering and functioning and crying all the time. They're probably not thinking about the next fun thing they want to do. So often I feel like people put something on the person that's grieving as a way to allow them to come when it's their time, but it just gets lost in the sauce. Like, honestly, it just gets lost in the grieving, where you might even have forgotten that someone offered or might stress them out. So just, like, don't do that. Like, don't put that on them. It's just really overwhelming when someone passes away, especially. Like, there's so many people contacting you. There's people that are being inappropriate, asking questions that you don't want to answer, people that you don't think deserves information. Like, there's a lot that's going on that just feels like you're exposed. So I think anytime that you feel like you might be helping, just check what you're doing and if it's actually helpful in a situation. Yeah. Can you think of any other situations that makes sense?
Right. Yeah. I think shout out to Nikki. Oh my God, I love this girl. She is someone who I think is so anticipatory for people's needs. And I remember with my dad's funeral, she was like, I'm going to watch your cats. Don't worry about it. I just need the key. Leave it under the rug. I've got it. You focus on whatever you need to do for the funeral for the next 2 days. And I was like, that was just so thoughtful because we were close friends. And I was like, something I didn't even think of, like, who was going to watch my cats for the next, like, week as I dealt with this. She also made a box and it was beautiful. This beautiful box with photos of my dad she found from, like, the obituary stuff. And it was a box to put in the donations for, like, the American Diabetes Association, because we did that, like, in lieu of flowers. And I didn't even think of that. I didn't even think, like, someone's going to have to put their check in something. And so she created this little box that was full of pictures. And I was like, how did she fucking find these pictures? Because I didn't send them to her. She set up the page that went around my office, letting people know, like, my dad had passed. And if you wanted to support me, like, you could donate to the ADA. And I didn't ask that. I found out after the fact that she was like, you know, because my dad's funeral was, like, hours and hours away. So, like, if they even wanted to come, they really couldn't. And she was like, hey, I made this thing. Is it okay that we do this and send it around? And I was like, I'm just blown away with, like, your thoughtfulness and how, like, you prepared every need that I didn't even know I had yet. And you don't have to be to that extreme. She's just really good at it. But those were things where, like, I had no clue that was going to be an issue I was going to face in those three instances. And she was like, check, check, check. I've got all those covered. Now you can focus on, like, the hard part of planning a funeral, picking out a casket, where are you going to have it? Where's the plot? You know, like the actual real hard decisions I was going to have to make. Another tip, and you could combine this with like, I think, spend the day with them. But one thing I think people really appreciate is when you honor the person they lost. And this could look like many different things. If you know the places that the grieving person's loved one used to go, like if it's a park or a restaurant, if you listen to the songs that the person used to love, kind of just sharing those memories, that meant the world to me. And I try to do the same thing for my brother and sister. Like when my dad's birthday comes up, is trying to plan like an outdoor activity. Like it's a like my dad loved walks, so trying to do walks with them or picnics, and just these little things to recognize and acknowledge that like our loved one is gone, but we can still like enjoy these things. Oh, my dad loved like butter pecan ice cream, sugar free specifically, and when someone gets me that, I'm just really touched because it's like, what is like a cute little way to like honor my dad and the thing that he loved. But do you have like examples of ways people have honored your people?
Yeah, I mean, I like there's sometimes that my sister's friends and like some of my family members, sometimes we go celebrate like my sister's birthday. Like we go on a trip. We went to like New York. A bunch of us went to New York. One of her first birthdays. Do like Hawaii trips. So we do things in honor of my sister's birthday for sure. I think because obviously she's younger, like friends are traveling and stuff. But I think it's nice. Like sometimes, you know, my brother will want to do like dinner for my mom's birthday or something, and like he'll invite friends. And I think just being open to like being the person to celebrate the days that they want to.
Yeah.
They might not always want to celebrate their parents' birthday that passed or sibling or whoever, partner. But I think giving them the space to do that and being open for that, I think it's really going to depend on the situation, like going on the trips for my sister's birthday. But I think you just need to allow people the space to kind of just figure that out, because it's like some years I want to, some years I don't, some years I ignore every date possible, other days I want to celebrate them. So it is a bit tricky, but I definitely would say like it's nice when someone thinks of them when you feel like you aren't the only one thinking of them.
Yeah.
And I don't think that anyone, I mean, there's probably somebody, but I think for the most part, people would just appreciate that someone else is thinking about the loved one that they're missing as well, and not just them. So I think that's going to be a nice gesture for most people. And so the next one, we briefly kind of mentioned it without don't putting more on their plate, but helping with something. So this one, like, make something easier. So things that I think of is like, maybe you just want to make sure they're eating, like send them food, you know, or make them dinner or go sit with them. Maybe like if you're good friends and you are in a space to do it, like maybe help them clean their place if they haven't done that in a while. You know, it really depends on your relationship to them and what you're willing to give or like what to do for someone. But I think it just can really depend. I mean, sometimes it's like there's a funeral, a lot of people are flying in. Maybe it's like you help pick someone up from the airport. Like it just, there's so many things that you could do to help somebody in that situation that's very overwhelming. And as they're grieving, so figure out like what works best for you and the person. But I think there's so many things that you can do just to make something easier for them. Like if you're meal prepping for yourself, maybe like, oh, a meal prep for my friend that is just like not doing well. Like there's a girl on TikTok that I've seen, I forgot her name, but her husband passed away and their friends will come help cook food for her because she's not good at cooking.
Aww.
You know, and so they help her with like having food to eat in her home because her husband was the cook. And it's like you can do those things, you know, you can do it as a community.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like helpful things that like people are thinking of you, they're thinking of the person that you lost, and just making sure that you eat. And I think whatever you can do financially, time wise, etc., can vary, but just think of something that you can do to make it easier. Like maybe like you know that they're having trouble getting out of bed and they have a dog, you'd be like, I'll like watch your dog for a week or something, you know, if that's kind of what needs to be done. There's so many things that you could do to just take something off their plate to alleviate whatever they're feeling.
Yeah, I'm thinking like little things of like I always see old people who can't mow their yards anymore and people just mowing their yards without question. It's just like a little simple thing. I think also for this, it is so hard to go back to work and be a normal person and then take on the workload that, one, I think everybody's already kind of at capacity and have, like, to use the office lingo, have no bandwidth anyways. But then on top of that, if they're coming back from bereavement, they're going to have to catch up on all this stuff that they have put off the past few days to go focus on a funeral. And so I think if, like, you're a manager or you're a coworker and you do know that a person has just, like, gone through severe loss, I think it's safe to assume that they probably also have a lot of work they want to get through.
Yeah.
And I think it's very appropriate to say, hey, you probably have a lot going on. Can I help you with a project, or can I get something started for you? Or, hey, I already did this part. All you have to do is just submit it. Or I feel like I had a few colleagues do that for me, and it just was like such a relief, because not only are you grieving and you're just severely depressed and your mind is weird, your memories are weird. You don't remember anything. But then on top of that, I felt so guilty because I was like, oh my gosh, people expect so much from me now. I have all these deadlines that I'm missing and I can't juggle all these things. And that a few of my colleagues were like, we've got it. Don't worry about it. You know, you'll ease yourself back into it and we're going to be fine. And I just appreciated that acknowledgement on like a workplace level, because you know, you and I have talked about, and I think a big conversation within our own grief group is how hard it is to grieve while maintaining like an office job or a corporate job.
Yeah. Someone just commented on one of our videos that said her work fired her a month after she lost someone, because they're like, you're not holding your weight at work. And that's just a crazy thing. And I feel like that's not uncommon, unfortunately. I feel like people expect you to be a work machine and just go back, and there's no going back. It's like everything sucks after that for a while, and maybe parts will always feel like that. So I think it's just really hard for corporate world to move in that direction, that they're actually respectful of just how big that is to your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was even thinking, I guess 2 months ago, posting on social media channels, and I had lost a friend and had a go to her funeral, and even you were like, hey, I'll handle it for a few days, like, you don't need to worry about posting about things. And it was like such a small thing, and I know like you and I like divvy up the posting, but I was just like, that's just like really kind and just like a relief to not have to like think about, oh, I gotta post in the afternoon. Yeah. And then you were like, nope, I've got it, don't even think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like once you experience it, you just want to do something to help somebody in some way. And I think people that are feeling like they don't know what to do, just try to think of that mindset. Like, what can I do just to help in a way that will like help them? Because it's going to be different for everybody. So we're hoping that all these things just put some perspective, and you revisit your friendship, revisit how you handle things. And I never think it's too late to make things better. As long as they're alive, it's never too late. Yeah. That's my motto. Because all my people are dead. And if yours isn't, you could fix it.
Yeah, there's always that, you know, take advantage of the fact that people are alive, because they're gone, and you can't do anything about it.
Nope. And maybe they're going to haunt you, so.
True, and we don't want that. I think last but not least, as a friend, to don't expect the grieving process to be fast, and don't try to rush the process of them grieving. I hate to say, like, as a friend of someone who's grieving, you will need to be patient. And people don't like to be patient, and that's just the acknowledgement, I think, of, like, humans. I think giving them that space and letting them, and, like, you letting them know, take as much time as you need. There's no end goal. There's no due date. There's nothing to, like, you're not going to get a trophy when you finish grieving, quote-unquote. Yeah. So just know that, like, if you're a friend of someone who's grieving, it's going to take a long time, and that's okay. Just write it out with them.
Yeah. And it's always going to be there. So it's just always going to be in the room. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be that thing there. So yeah, it doesn't just go away It's a really hard thing to deal with. There's so many emotions, and it never feels normal in the world without them, to be honest. So I think just having that level of care and understanding that they're having to live a life that they never signed up for. They never signed up to be living their life without the people that they love. So I think just, you know, be kind, be patient. And another, like, as we said again, like, don't make it about you.
Yeah.
Yes, the friendship might look different for a bit and maybe slightly different forever, but that's just friendship. You have to grow together. You have to continue to be supportive of the things that you go through. You know, that's just friendship and love.
Well, those are our hot tips for this episode, and I hope they've been helpful. And like every episode, we end it on a positive note and we provide a challenge. And this one, hopefully it'll be easy because we gave you all a whole list, but try out a tip that we suggested and just be a good friend.
Yeah. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. And let us know what other tips that we missed. And, you know, maybe this is something we can do a part two for and add more tips, because I feel like this is just a growing conversation and there's always more ideas that we can share with each other. Like, this is something I think that only helps everybody when we can share this, like, knowledge exchange with each other.
Yeah, definitely.
And we will have resources included in the show notes below. And we have new episodes every Tuesday where we cover grief topics like this. And we also have a book club about a grief book on Mondays.
Yeah. And how to join the club is to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube with Two Girls with Grief Pod. We'd love to hear your challenges. We'd love to hear your suggestions, comments, questions. You can email us at twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com. All of that will be in the show notes, so you can easily access it. And then as a reminder, grief looks different for everybody. And also, especially keep that in mind if you're coming to this as a friend trying to help a griever. People experience grief differently. It can vary depending on the person, the type, the relationship, the situation, so many different things. So just keep that in mind and kind of, I feel like, be bold, be open-minded, and just know, like, it might not work the first time. Not every suggestion we give is going to work on the person that you're trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as long as they know that you love them and that you care and you're trying, I think that's the most important thing, really, at the end of the day. So thank you all for listening, and I hope this episode's helpful. We see so many conversations on this, so hopefully this gets people reconnecting, talking, trying new things. That's what we want to see.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.